This is Jesus, and he's just called a tax collector to follow him, Levi or Matthew. And he's having lunch with a bunch of sinners. And the Pharisees are moaning, saying, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And on hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." That's good news for you and me, isn't it? Because if he hadn't come for sinners like us, we wouldn't have been called. And that's what we're looking at this month. Why did Jesus come? And today we're thinking about the fact that Jesus has come to send us just as he's been sent. And he sends us to sinners. You know, and just he's come into our lives and called us from our sin. And every day we are relying on him to help us resist sin. Every day he is sending us to other people who are just like us. So I just want you to open up your hearts now as we continue in worship. Say, "Lord, send me to sinners. Lord, I was a sinner and I'm struggling today. Send me out, Lord. I know what it is, Lord, to be in sin. I know what it is like to struggle. I know what it is, Lord, to come in repentance to you, Lord. I know what it is to humble myself before you. I know what it is, Lord, to receive your forgiveness. I know what it is to know your mercy, Lord, and your grace. Lord, send me out, Lord. You have come to call people like me, Lord. Send me out, Lord, to others." Let's carry on worshiping the Lord.
Good morning. As you can hear, I'm a little bit croaky. And when there's quite a lot of empty seats, we normally ask the back row to step forward a bit. But it's probably a good idea for the front row to go backwards a bit. Just see it. No, I'm joking. I was thinking about this thing that's been hanging on me for the last couple of weeks. And I was thinking, yes, I know women keep saying about pregnancy and all, how bad that is. But man flu, that is serious. See, I've even got a hand up from David. The man flu is really bad. I'm going to start just before we look at the word, just to get us to think about what is on our hearts and what's on God's hearts. And I'm going to start by asking the question that Frank used to open up leaders' meetings, and it always used to terrify me. And he always used to say, "What's God been talking to you about this week?" And it's like, you're on the spot. And it's like, wow, what do I say to that? So what has he been talking? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But what I want us to do for the first couple of minutes is just in quiet, think about what God has been speaking to you about in light of what we're going to be talking about this month. And that is, why did Jesus come? If Jesus came to be a really amazing person, to do miracles, to do what he did in the Bible, and nothing else, then really and truly, what was the point? He came to pass on a challenge to us, to pass on a role to us, the Great Commission, what we have a part to play in his plan. So in the next couple of minutes, I want to ask, what's God been talking to you about this week? What's God been talking to you about this year? And what has changed in your life and in your hearts over what God has been talking to you about? So just a couple of minutes thinking about that, and I'll close in prayer, and then we can start with our message today. Lord God, I thank you that you're not a man confined to the pages of a Bible. That you are not a man that walked 2,000 years ago and has done very little since. I thank you that you are not someone that holds on to all the good stuff for yourself because you can. Lord God, I thank you that you use us, that you talk to us, that you challenge us, that you guide us. And that if we listen to what you have for us, you have a plan for us, a plan that will change lives miraculously. As people who are in darkness see something in us that is light, you have a plan for us that we will help bring your kingdom from heaven to earth. The lives will be changed because of what we have to say because of your Holy Spirit in us. Thank you, Lord God, that we have a purpose in you. Amen. 21,600. That's all it is. 21,600 minutes to Christmas. 360 hours. That sounds close, doesn't it? 15 days and it will be Christmas. Another year, another Christmas, another fight through the shops. What does Christmas mean to you? Is it 3 meat and 18 veg with a turkey that needs 2 people to carry it? Because we always do it, don't we? Why? Why do we eat turkey on Christmas and Brussels sprouts? Oh! But it's not Christmas without that, is it? Is it presents, stockings, an open fire? You know, the pictures like that, that Jesus obviously saw. Is that what Christmas means to you? Is it the big family meeting, the big family get-together, where there's always someone that gets a little bit drunk and argues? But you play silly games anyway. Charades is probably the best Christmas thing, isn't it? Best Christmas invention ever. Is that what Christmas means to you? Or is it something else? In the lead up to Christmas, it's always good to reevaluate our focus on Christmas. Always good to reevaluate where our priorities are. I am terrible at Christmas shopping. I always do it in the last week. I've got most of my Christmas presents. I'm very happy. So this year, I don't have to worry about Christmas presents. I can start focusing on what Christmas is really about, and that's Jesus. But we have to keep reevaluating what Christmas means, because it becomes so commercial and so against or away from what Christmas really was. Christmas, that's not where Jesus was. So we're going to be looking at the question that David started last week. Why did Jesus come? Now, to ask this question in the church is a bit silly, because we all know why Jesus came. But why did he really come? We're going to be looking at 3 short verses. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to the 3 short verses. They are very short, but they ask us 3 really valid points. Priorities. What was Jesus' priority when he came down to earth? We have an amazing document of Jesus' life in the Bible. But all the way through that, we can see the priorities that Jesus had, the focuses Jesus had, and everything he did revolved around these priorities. What are our priorities? I'm not clicking. Oh, no, I've clicked it. I don't like technology. I'm going to bring my laptop next week. It works on my laptop. Purpose. There will be a purpose up there if it happens. Oh, this is silly. Purpose. Jesus had a purpose. A real purpose. A purpose that drove him. A purpose that motivated him. All his energy was focused on this purpose. A purpose that was his whole ministry. What's our purpose? We have a purpose in Jesus. And sometimes, as Christians, we can't see it. And then finally, passing on. This is silly. This is not working. Passing on. Jesus passed on the mantle, passed on the challenge to us. There was something else that Jesus had planned. It wasn't just him doing all the work, but And it was passing on what he had, the priorities he had, the purpose he had to us. And Alpha is a wonderful way of gently sharing that with other people. Steve's going to be doing Alpha in the new year with other people. That's not their job, because we all have a job in that as well. And our job in that is to start telling people about Alpha. Do you want to know more about it? Just come in. You can have food. That normally encourages people. But we have a purpose. We have priorities that should be equal to Jesus's. And that passing on of the mantle can be shown in a lot of things that we do, including something like Alpha. Oh my life, this is getting silly. Right, now it's working. Why is it working now? Before we look at this first chapter, the first verse in Luke, Luke 4, 43. I want to look at just the chapter before. This is at the start of Jesus' ministry. He has only really just been baptized. So 6-7 months before, this is what happens. In Luke 3:21, Jesus gets baptized. There was something important about Jesus being baptized. John says, "You know, I can't baptize you. You're God." And he said, "I must be baptized." It was a priority. I must be baptized. Straight after that, Jesus was taken into the wilderness for 40 days. I don't know about you, but I struggle without food for 40 minutes. Jesus went 40 days. I know where my priority would have been, but that wasn't his. His priority was focusing on what his Father had got for him, the plans his Father had for him. It wasn't on food. In Luke 4:14, Jesus starts teaching in the synagogue, comes out of the wilderness. And one of the first things he did is goes into the synagogue and starts teaching. People were amazed at his amazing teaching, his knowledge of the scriptures. He was an untaught man, yet he had such wisdom in the scriptures. People were fascinated and they loved his teaching. 14 verses later, those same people drove him out of the city, walked him up a high steep hill and was going to push him off. He must have upset people. We're going to upset people as well if we tell people what Jesus really means, because it's not a message that most people want to hear. But it wasn't his time, so he walked through the crowds and went into the mountains. And in Luke 4:31, we see Jesus drive out the evil spirit of a man. People came from all over the place because of his teaching, because of the miraculous things he did. He was amazing, and people wanted to find out about him. Luke 4:38, we see the first healing. And not only did he heal one person, but he healed many people. But was that why he came? Why did Jesus come? And now we get on to the verse, the first verse that we're going to be looking at, which is Luke 4:43. And it says this, "But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns." They were trying to keep him in their town because they loved what he said. But he said, "No, I must preach in other towns, because that is why I have come." If I was to ask 10 people, what was the purpose of Jesus coming, I'd probably get 11 answers. And I'd probably get 11 good answers why Jesus had to come. But here we see in Jesus' own words why he had to come. And that was to tell people of the good news. He did not come to heal. Jesus did not come to heal. He did not come to cast out evil spirits. He did it, but the purpose he came was to tell people about Jesus. He didn't come to make friends. He didn't come to make people feel that nice, warm, fuzzy feeling you get when you get around Christmas and you see the nativities with the people with the tea towels on their head. That's not why Jesus came. He came to give them a message of good news, a message that some people wouldn't want to hear. But before this amazing claim, why he came, the verse before that in Luke 4:42 says this. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place to pray. The people were looking for him. If Jesus came to tell people about the good news, why was he in a solitary place when people were looking for him? Have you ever read that in the Bible where Jesus goes off to a solitary place? It happens all the time. Jesus often retreats to a solitary place. In Luke 5:16, it says Jesus often withdrew to a solitary place. In Matthew 14, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And in Luke 6, Jesus went up to the mountainside to pray and stayed all night. So why did Jesus spend so much time in solitary places if the reason he came was to tell people about Jesus? To tell people about his Father, his kingdom, the good news of what is to come if you believe in him. Because he knew his priority. His priorities were spending time with his Father, spending time in prayer so that he can tell people of the good news. The importance of his priorities. I've mentioned this before in sermons as well, but there are several surveys that go out that tell you how you spend your time. Well, they survey 1,000 people to find out how much time is spent on what activity. And in the Western world, the first three of them are set in stone. Sleep, work, and what's the third one? Television. By a mile, the third priority for most people is television. And way down the list is stuff for God. Even when you do that same survey in church activities, in church people, way down the list, the amount of time we spend doing stuff, God is down the list. Our priorities are much more Jeremy Kyle than they are Jesus. For many people. I don't know, I've given Jeremy Kyle a hard time. It's a dreadful show. Dreadful. But Jesus understood his priority. I must tell people the good news. And so much of his time was spent fulfilling those priorities. What are our priorities? Second verse we're going to be looking at is John 18:37. Purpose. He was with Pilate at the very end of his ministry. "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." We've just seen two verses of the Bible. The first one is at the very start of his ministry where he says, "My priority is to tell people about the kingdom of God." And now at the very end of his ministry, the message is exactly the same. Jesus' purpose was to tell people about Jesus and his kingdom and God the Father, about heaven, about what it really means to be a Christian. Because the alternative is too horrible to think. I'm always amazed when I read the Bible how badly people accepted Jesus' message. You think about the message Jesus had, love others. It's a nice message, isn't it? Put others above yourself. If everyone did that, wow, what a difference it would make. Don't steal. Don't kill. Very good, wise words. So why do people accept his message so badly? The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law were living to see the Messiah. That was they focused their whole life on it. They read the scriptures. They knew the Messiah was coming and they longed to see the Messiah. Yet when he was standing in front of them, they missed it. Their priorities were on learning the word, learning the rules. Their priorities were not on looking really for the Messiah. And when he came, they missed it. When people heard what he had to say, they shouted blasphemy and wanted to stone him or take him up a hill and throw him off. They wanted to kill him. And Jesus said, great news for you, the same is true for us. People will hate us because of the message we have to bring. That's good, isn't it? Makes us feel nice and warm at Christmas. And we know that in the end they had their way and they were the ones that forced him to be killed. They saw the healings. They saw the miracles. They saw the way he spoke to the crowd. They saw the fact that he fed 5,000 people with just a snack. And they ate until they were full. And I always wonder, how would I have been? Would I have been one of his disciples? Or would I have been one of the ones holding a stone ready to throw it at him? I'd lived 20 years, 30 years, knowing the law. Living by the law. And then this bloke comes and starts telling this amazing news. What would I have been? Would I have been praising him? Or would I have been trying to kill him? It's no difficulty then to understand how the world accepts Jesus now. The world struggles to understand the message of Jesus. The message of the kingdom. Why? Well, because it's not politically correct, for one. All religions are okay, aren't they? Surely. If you live a good life, you're always going to go to heaven. No. Not according to the Bible. Not according to what Jesus says. There is one way to heaven, and that's through him. That's not politically correct. Why would people want to take that message? It goes against world teachings. God created the world. Did he? Surely a big bang created the world. What made it bang? So much of what the Bible says goes against what we're taught in society. Look after number one. Make sure we're all right. Jesus says, don't worry about number one. Look after number two. Look after everyone else. Give to the poor. Give to the needy. Give to the widows. I don't want to give. It's my money. I've earned it. It's no surprise that the world accepts the message of Jesus badly. Jesus came with a purpose. And that purpose was to tell people about Jesus, about his kingdom, about the glory that is to come, about heaven, and about the kingdom of his Father. And that's the purpose that we have too. The purpose was his driving force, his focus. All his energy was spent on it. What's our purpose? Is our purpose the same as his? And if not, why not? As I said at the start, Alpha is going to be starting in about 3, 4, 5 weeks, something like that, not very long. So our purpose should be telling people about Alpha, telling our neighbours, our friends, our family, oh, scary, talking to our family that don't believe, about Alpha, so that we might bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and that God's Spirit will work in them to fulfil Jesus' purpose. And our purpose. Last verse. John 20:21. Passing on. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Peace be with you. Fills you with a nice warm feeling, doesn't it? We can go up to people and say, "Peace be with you." That's lovely. Unfortunately, that's not where the verse ends. It goes on to say, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Don't put your hand up on this, but who feels like they have a purpose? Who feels like they have an absolute reason for living that we might share our knowledge with other people about Jesus? Because many of us don't feel that. Don't feel like we have a purpose. Don't feel like it's our job. We're not missionaries. We're not evangelists. But it's our purpose that's been passed on. The Great Commission. The Great Commission. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. It requires an action on our part. Ever wonder what your purpose is? It's up there. As the Father has sent me, so I send you also. It's our purpose to tell people about the kingdom of God. It's our purpose, the Great Commission. At this time of Christmas, it's a great way to change our focus from turkey and tinsel and put it to the kingdom of God. It's a great way to change our focus from those twee pictures that we see in our Christmas cards of the robin and the snow and the lovely house with the roaring fire, and put it back into the hands of Jesus and the Great Commission that he has given to all of us. Alpha starts in a few weeks. Start talking to people. Start fulfilling Jesus' purpose. Start fulfilling the Great Commission that has been passed on to all of us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it would be so easy if, as the Lord of the universe, that you would just snap your fingers and everyone would be a Christian. Everyone would be wonderful. But that's not how it's ever supposed to be. You gave us free will. You gave us a choice. And it's in that choice we understand who you are and how much you love us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us a purpose. You have given us a purpose in your plans, in your kingdom, that we might be people that will share the wonderful news of what we know to people that don't yet know you. That we might be light in lives that are consumed with darkness. That we might give hope to people that don't yet have hope. Lord God, we think of our wonderful church and the things that are now happening in here. We think of the night shelter, where it's more than just sitting with homeless people, but it's telling them about who you are. We think about Alpha, where people have got such a distorted image of what a Christian really is. And Alpha's a great way of telling people who you really are. We think about our food bank, where people who have got little can come and be given more than just food, but food for the soul. Help us, Lord Jesus, find a purpose in your plan. Not to look at our weaknesses, but to look at your strengths and know that in you, Lord God, everything is possible. We ask that you will change our priorities. I ask that you will change my priorities and you will change my purpose so that it will be more like yours. Let us see your kingdom come on earth because of the purpose you have for us.